Welcome to the Elysium Project podcast. I am your host, Austin James, and joining me today for episode 50 is the founder of Elysium Project podcast, Brian Johnson. To support our show and to support our vision, please be sure to follow us on Instagram at elysiumproject.ca. And without further ado, enjoy the show. All right, and we're live.
Hey.
How you doing, brother?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, this is a unique moment and a unique episode as we are 50 episodes into the Elysium Project podcast. But I am hosting you, the one who had created this podcast in the first place, and sending you off to the next chapter, if you will.
Yeah, man, I appreciate it. Nice to be your first guest hosting.
Thank you. Yes. New and exciting beginnings for the both of us, man.
Absolutely.
Well, I wanted to really highlight what you've done with Elysium Project thus far and pick your brain a little bit on just the journey and your experience with everything and, you know, get into the why you started this in the first place and things of what you've learned and picked up along the way. The first question I'd like to ask you, man, is why did you choose the name Elysium Project? What does Elysium and the concept of Elysium mean to you, and how does it align with the mission in which you started this project in the first place?
Yeah, so Elysium as a name is just a Greek mythological name for kind of a paradisial place, like a paradise, right? Well, comes from the Greek language, and I just always really liked the word personally. I thought it was a really beautiful word, and I just chose it. It seemed unique, and there wasn't a lot of there's a few other Elysium projects, but they have nothing to do with like what we're doing. So yeah, the fact that I just liked how it sounded, liked how it rolled off the tongue, and but it's funny, as you and I have talked since I've chosen that name, and this is, we're a few years in now, it's interesting because not everyone has heard the name Elysium before, nor do they know what it means or how to pronounce it.
yeah, no kidding. I remember the first time I saw Elysium Project at the Fruit Festival where we met. I thought it was a really unique and original name, and it reminded me, the only association I have with the word Elysium was the movie with Matt Damon. Did you ever see that movie?
Totally.
Like,
yeah.
That city in the sky, something like that.
And it's funny because that's kind of like the opposite of right. The goal with all this, right? That's a dystopian movie of this place where the elite people in the future that have the money get to go into outer space and live on this. Well, it is their paradise, their Elysium space station, leaving all the rest of the world behind. So the opposite of kind of the intention behind this, which is funny. But yeah, I mean, that name Elysium is a place of the blessed.
Wow, yeah, that actually could not be more opposite now that I recall that movie and think about it and then contrast it to your vision and why you created this.
I didn't even really think about that when this was all, like, obviously I was aware that it was a movie, I had seen it, but the word just had so many other meanings to me that I wasn't really associating that with that. But yeah, it's funny to, you know, maybe some people only know the word Elysium from that movie, and then what is this? And yeah.
yeah, that's wild, man. Out of what year did you begin Elysium Project? Like, how many years has it been now since you began?
So this is coming up on 5 years, actually. In 2018, we launched in December of 2018. Right. Yeah, time flies, and you know, quality over quantity for me. I guess I have always sort of looked for engaging conversations that really interest me, as opposed to just you know, pumping out content. So we're at 50 episodes here. That I guess that's like what, almost one a month if it were spaced out chronologically like that. But yeah, it's been pretty awesome so far. Pretty fun thing to explore.
How did you go about picking out the guests and people in which you would go on to bring onto the show? Like, what types of topics and like, what was that process like for you of actually picking out the people that you chose to come on the show?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, it goes back to true to the name. The whole goal of this is true, leaving the world in better condition than we found it, or at least trying. That was kind of the initial motto or mission statement, whatever. And so I've always just wanted to bring people on the show and have conversations with people that are actively doing something in their field to try and improve on the circumstances of our world. I think it's a pretty common feeling that we all have when we see what's going on in the world, that we want to do something to play our part in sort of affecting positive change. And I guess like 2018, that was obviously pre-pandemic. Podcasts have kind of blown up since COVID. I think everyone and their brother is trying to get in on the podcast thing. It was a good opportunity. We were all locked in at home, but yeah, I kind of started before that big wave of interest in podcasts began. And like I said, I just I meet so many people that they're just maybe your everyday average whatever, but they're doing something really incredible, or they have this really awesome story. And to me, I think what I sort of learned as these episodes were progressing is it's the story that I really like to capture behind the person, because everybody has a story. And in that regard, you know, we could literally just bring a stranger in off the street if you wanted to and sit down and have a podcast and have a really interesting conversation that's worthwhile listening to. So I suppose for me, it's just honoring the humanity and the purpose within all of us and sharing those stories through podcast format.
Yeah, well said, man. Well said. It's true. I often think about that. I mean, I too meet so many interesting people, and especially over the last couple of years, I've met just so many of the most unique and empowering and people that I've grown to become really close with and good friends with. And I'm like, man, these people are all such amazing human beings. And they're just like an obvious person in which I would want to bring on the show and you know, magnify their medicine and their gifts. But then there's also people that I'll just meet on the street, and or just strangers, or maybe just like people who are literally just friends and we just hang out and are casual. And like, even I find them to be so interesting. I'm like, I often wonder, I'm like, what would, you know, what kind of interesting, you know, stories would be told if I was to, you know, bring them onto a podcast type setting. It could even be a stranger, you know. I think there's something really special about, you know, podcasting in general as a platform for this.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, and I wasn't saying that just facetiously. I mean, we genuinely could just meet someone randomly and invite them on the show, and I think you'd have a really special conversation with them, because I just truly believe it doesn't matter who you are, where you're from, what you're doing. You know, everyone has this really interesting story, and that's to me what makes it unique, right? I could talk about the science behind, let's say, psilocybin mushrooms or something, and sure, that's interesting, but that's a pretty, probably, I'm just guessing, pretty saturated podcast content right now. I'm sure that you could find probably hundreds, if not thousands, of episodes on that subject matter. So it's like, let's talk about that. But then, like, what is your personal journey behind that? How did you get into that? Because I bet usually there's a pretty interesting story if we're willing to look.
Yeah, I wonder if there would be like a format, because we've seen those channels on YouTube that have grown in such popularity of people who they will like literally go find actual like drug addicts or, you know, crystal meth meth heads or prostitutes and pimps, like people from very abnormal, you know, ways of life. And it's just the essence of who they are being shined on with amazing light and asked these questions that makes it so thought provoking and interesting. So I wonder if, like, if I was to just go meet a stranger on the street, like Humans of New York has highlighted this really amazingly well. And I wonder if that same type of thing could be, you know, transferred onto a podcast. Like what types of questions would make for like a really compelling conversation with just an absolute stranger, you know, in the form of like a long form conversation.
Yeah. And I think that would be really cool. I would love to see that. And there probably is some podcasts that do that.
There's gotta be already. There's gotta be
conversation with a stranger type thing.
Yeah. But I thought of this as an idea, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I think what people don't realize perhaps about podcasts is they actually do take quite a bit to edit and produce and push them out to the various platforms and stuff. And that is where for me, like as I started doing that, I'm like, oh wow, this is a lot of work and I'm not really getting paid directly for it. So I guess along the way, and it's kind of always been the long-term goal for me to switch into film, but just the amount of work I do put into putting episodes together from start to finish. I think because I'm naturally a perfectionist, I kind of just wanted to shift that into film, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And I want to get into that as this is a, you know, you're really transitioning from the labor of love of podcasting into the next exciting creative adventure of storytelling through film. I wanted to ask, being that podcast is, you know, a labor of love and it takes a lot of hours spent time researching and recording and then editing and all these things, was there a certain element that kept you motivated to want to keep going? And perhaps if there was challenging times or what, did you experience challenging times where you really didn't want to, you know, keep going with the project and you decided you had to keep going, you know, like did you ever come into that type of friction?
I did. Yeah. Actually, although I say this has been 5 years now, there was a year where I did absolutely nothing with this. Like I didn't even check the social media channels. I was just kind of gone and I knew that I would return to it, but probably mid pandemic or early to mid pandemic, I just had a lot going on in my life, as you know, and perhaps some of the listeners do if they were following. Like I had several emergency surgeries where, you know, I went into the hospital and I barely made it, and going through a relationship that wasn't working, and my mom was passing away. She was sick, and there was just so much going on in my own life that I was just like, I knew I'd come back to it, but I had to take a step back and just put first things first, you know, look after myself and my family first of all. And then, and then here we are back again at this. But what really keeps me going is again, the stories. Like I probably put between start to finish, it's like, I don't know, maybe like 5 or 6 hours of like recording and then going through the editing and then putting together the promotional content and pushing it out there. But that process is so much fun of like, okay, I recorded this conversation with this person and I captured a little bit of their essence of what makes them them and what their purpose is or mission here, if you want to kind of put it that way. And you know, I'm gonna spend these next 5 or 6 hours editing it, and I'm not really making money from it. But once it's all done, set and done, and I put it out there and I check like, okay, how many downloads do I have after 24 hours, after a week? And I see that like people are, that I clearly don't know because they're in Zimbabwe or something, right? Like you can see that as on the podcast metrics. It was just a really rewarding feeling that I'm not doing this for direct financial gain. I'm just doing it because I want to, I find a certain person or their story interesting. And that's just a part of what I am, in which I'm continuing, as we say, to carry on into documentary filmmaking, this sort of talking to people and really finding out what makes them tick, just being able to give them that platform makes me feel good about myself, I guess, in a roundabout way.
Have you had the chance to interact with some of your listeners? I know you've had listeners from all over the world now, and I was going to ask you that, like, what's that feeling like to have created something and then knowing it's spread all across the world, all over the globe? You know, it's not like we're at a Joe Rogan level, but you know, you've still breached every continent, I'm sure.
Yeah, we have really most of the listeners. So only, I think, I don't know, maybe 20% are in Canada, which is where we're from. So they're not, you know, my personal friends, all of them, although I'm sure some are. Sorry, what was your question?
Oh, yeah, again? No, I was just curious if you've interacted or had the chance to connect with some of the listeners from other parts of the world.
Yeah, every now and then I'll get an email or like a direct message on Instagram from someone that I've never met, and they'll either say something like a comment or make a suggestion, and yeah, it feels pretty cool. It's knowing that even if it's, yeah, like you say, we're not on that stratosphere of these ultra superstar podcasters, but we have a reach of people that just kind of randomly come across it. I'd be curious to know how, because right. I can't access that through the I don't there's no way of knowing that, as far as I know, like how a person discovers it. So I guess you'd have to do a survey, but yeah, it's just it's cool. It's a cool feeling.
Yeah, totally, man. Yeah, you said something a few minutes ago too, of just like, you know, you would hope to capture the essence of someone in a podcast. And I think even when I just think about that, I'm like, yeah, that would be the intention for me in every show, is to just, if I can just capture the essence of this person through their own unique sort of unfiltered expression, there's something so beautiful about that. And to be able to highlight and magnify, you know, that particular uniqueness about a person, that would be my intention moving forward on podcasting and whatnot. I was curious too, because this is another question. Many of the episodes and podcasts you've done are very much so everything from health and nutrition to spirituality and psychedelics and personal development. Given our current global climate with so much polarizing energy and just everything just seems to be happening, one new thing every week, how important do you think things like spirituality and personal development are in this day and age? Like, how do they intersect with these larger societal things that we are experiencing, you know, as a global community?
Yeah, well, it seems as though, and you and I weren't together a few weeks ago, I was out in White Rock, and I think we kind of had this conversation. It seems as though we are in a period, and probably have been for quite some time, where a lot of the old systems that we built up over the last century we're realizing not sustainable long term, and whether that's the financial system or what we're doing to the environment, whatever it is, you know, the way that we are living, I don't think is very sustainable in a long term time frame. And so with that, and as people continue to wake up to that, I suppose it forces you inward to look at these deeper issues and ask yourself these deeper questions and maybe investigate, you know, what is my purpose here, and how do my actions affect the world as a whole? So I do see, yeah, through that, well, specifically what I was sharing with you when I was out there was this idea of generations, and this book that I really like called The Fourth Turning by Strauss and Howe. I can't remember the author's first names, but that's the book anyways, The Fourth Turning. And they've just kind of studied Anglo-American generations from, I guess, going back to about the 1600s. And they see that every 80 years, so about the what's a saeculum, average lifetime, 80 years, generations tend to repeat. And there's these four phases within that. Unfortunately, I didn't study this beforehand, so I can't eloquently give people a rundown on it, but they can look up the book. It's a fascinating read. Yeah, we're in what they call the crisis, and we have been since about 2008, which was when that initial financial collapse happened. And I just think that for the next, you know, I don't think things are calming down anytime soon, unfortunately. I think that systems and are going to continue in some ways getting worse, unfortunately, before they get better. But I do think we're at a unique time where we have the opportunity to lay these foundations out and on a personal and collective level approach things in a way that's perhaps more sustainable and more a deeper understanding of our spirituality. Because at the core of all of this, for me, the reason, I guess, why I did this whole thing is I truly believe with every core of my being that we are spiritual beings, all connected to this one vast ocean of consciousness. We are one being, and when you realize that, and my actions towards you therefore are what I do to you, I do to myself. And it goes back to that golden rule, treat, which is prevalent in pretty much every religion, treat others the way you want to be treated. If we can really get a deeper understanding of that in our spirituality, then maybe that's not the be all end all solution, but it's at least a start. And that's kind of always been the guiding theme, I think, behind these conversations, which I've tried to have on the podcast so far.
Absolutely, man. Yeah. Yeah, I couldn't have said it better myself. It does seem, to me anyway, my own personal experience, it does seem like things of the personal development type nature, but more importantly, spirituality and this sensation of waking up, this coined term of awakening. Like, it's such a funny and mysterious and layered concept that I think as things continue to get stranger and stranger and out of order, quote unquote, in our world, it's like having an actual foundational rooted groundedness within one's being through spiritual truth and spiritual principles, like something beyond the physical body. I mean, it's truly, truly, truly a fascinating time that we're living in right now. And I would have to agree with you, man, like just that one simple truth of what I'm doing to other people, I'm also doing to myself, like at the deepest of levels, how we are completely one with this whole thing. Like, life in itself is just so trippy, man. And I know I've probably said this to you many times, and something that's been really on my mind the last few months has just been literally just the sensation of being alive. And there's just something that it's hitting me in new ways these days of like, I'm I'm here and I'm experiencing the sensation of like having a human body. And I'm like, somehow with these eyes on my face, I'm able to perceive and witness all these things. And life continues to hit me in ways that I'm like, man, this doesn't even look real. Like it's so real. It looks unreal and realer than real at the exact same time. Like that's maybe the best way I could explain what's going on. And my mind so stubbornly wants to be able to put words to all these things, but it's futile because it's trying to describe something ineffable. But my mind is stubborn and tries anyway.
yeah, totally. Well, I think going back to that concept of spirituality, and one of the things that came up through quite a few of the podcasts that I had, which were blatant discussions about our spirituality, blatant's probably the wrong word to use, but I think there's been in the last, I don't know, we'll say 15 years, a real strong understanding that we carry our traumas with us, whether it's from our childhood or perhaps even past lives or generational traumas. I think there is way more awareness about that now than there ever was, like 30, definitely, 40 years ago. There was kind of just like suck it up and go on type thing. But it's like, no, we carry them with us. And couple of my favorite podcasts that I did were with Elaine Alec on this show. She's an Indigenous woman. And, you know, as we all know, there's a lot of awareness coming to surface now about the traumas that these Indigenous people have been through in their past. And like growing up, I didn't learn anything about that. It was just like, we had the natives and they lived on the reserve and there was a lot of alcohol and drug problems. And I didn't understand why. And it's like, well, they got, as a people, they got screwed over by the colonialism and pushed out of their lands and stuff. And we see directly how that has affected them and carried on in these traumas that they all carry with them. And I think if you begin to look at everyone that way, like what they've been through that might be causing the hardships or whatever it is that a person's dealing with, then you instantly have this newfound view of compassion for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. 100%. It's a really interesting experience to hold somebody in that compassion. Let's say if somebody's triggered and they're clearly acting out in whatever way that might be, it's like, it's been an interesting practice for me to see them as their like child self, you know what I mean? Like to see them as this wounded child within themselves that's, you know, acting out very much so how a child would. And it's not even to like degrade that person or to, anything of a reductionist nature, but rather just like choosing to view it in such a truly human, compassionate way, because we are still our inner child. Like it's not like your inner child was some other being that like existed and it was like a different person outside of you. It's like that's still you at the deepest levels. And it's funny how you said too that, you know, trauma and these concepts 30, 40 years ago weren't even talked about, but rather they were just like kind of immediately jammed further and just dismissed, whereas these days it seems like it's, you know, every other person has some kind of awareness about it. And in my mind now, it's like I view it as like almost that's probably the most important thing that we could be doing. Like to me, it's taken precedence over any other previous egoic dreams or desires I had. It's like, man, I just want to realize fully that like there are parts of me that are deeply unconscious and still deeply wounded that need some attention and love. Like, and that level, that zone of healing is like my utmost priority. I'm realizing, and I've only been just realizing this, like literally within the last month, I've been kind of aware of this, these energies and this, this healing process for a couple of years now, but just for me personally in the last few weeks here, I'm like, wow, like I'm starting to realize it's now time for me to go in and do this deep inner shadow work, specifically with other people though. Like I need to now outsource and work with people who understand this, because I'm realizing there's a new layer that's looking to be met now. And it's confronting and it's not easy. And that perhaps that's why a lot of people might shy away from things like intimacy or like real vulnerability and stuff, because there's that,
absolutely,
there's that part of our psyche, that inner child that's like, oh my God, don't look at me. You know, like it's just too much.
Yeah. Well, I think that's what I love about the podcast too, is because I tried as best I could just to approach it and just to have a candid conversation with people. Obviously, I am far from having all the answers myself, so I'm just kind of on the journey with them and exploring these concepts like trauma and how that might, what traumas do I carry and so on and so forth. And it is really interesting as well, because I've had quite severe obsessive compulsive disorder in my life. Like more or less I kind of got it under control these days, and I have had it under control for quite a number of years, but in my early 20s it was really bad. And there was always this feeling in me that I didn't feel like the just sort of the conventional psychiatry in its form in, this would have been the early 2000s when I was dealing with all that, didn't really talk at all about things like trauma or a holistic sense of healing or well-being. And I knew, without knowing what the answer was, I knew that what they were offering me wasn't the answer. Just taking the pills and doing cognitive behavior therapy so that I could wash my hands less. I was like, well, why am I doing this? There's something that's not right here. And it's only now, probably particularly in the last couple years, that I'm really looking into that more. Like, well, why did I develop obsessive compulsive disorder? Because I don't think that anything, whether it's in health or disease, just happens by chance. There's a deeper reasoning for everything, whether or not we're aware of it. And I mean, that's a whole different discussion in itself, like mental health and obsessive compulsive disorder. But suffice it to say, I've been having a lot of realizations in terms of, like we said, my own trauma and how that might have caused some of the challenges that I was dealing with my mental health. So yeah, I'm just as much on the journey as everyone else. And as the host of the first 50 episodes, I really just enjoyed going on that journey with people in each episode and being there alongside them.
Absolutely. Yeah, there really is some kind of an element of I don't know how to say it. I was gonna say like kind of walking hand in hand, but just the element of podcasting with another individual, like regardless of the topic, regardless of what's being shared or talked about, it's just, there's a moment of this being is now being seen, and sometimes being seen by other people, even just being, you know, simply just being present with other people, no words required, that in itself is healing. So having a conversation and allowing somebody to fully be seen, like that in itself is healing, and it is potent. Thank God for podcasts, man. Thank God for storytelling, all of it, man. I mean, really, like why do we do any of this, right? It's like we're wanting to connect at the end of the day. We just want to connect. We just want someone to share their truth, so then we can realize, oh, I'm not the only one. You know, I'm not, maybe, like, I thought I was the only weirdo who thought these types of things, or whatever, right? Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, excellent, man. Well said. Is there, I know you mentioned the podcast you have with Elaine. Are there any other like really memorable moments or something that really sticks out to you amongst all the episodes you've done on this journey so far? And maybe it was Elaine's episode, but I was going to ask it to you.
Yeah, any of the times that I really got the story out of people, so sharing their personal journey and background as to why they're doing what they're doing, that really lit me up. Like, I think as you kind of said in the beginning there, when I first started the episodes, I was sort of like, let's talk about nutrition and stuff, which is fine. That's cool. But, yeah, talking about numbers and figures and facts, it's like, I'm sure there's thousands of podcasts that do that. And who am I trying to compete with? Am I trying to compete with Joe Rogan? Like, No, not really. Right. So, but to answer your question, yeah, I specifically the last 10 that I did it, because that's when the vision really started to get clear with me. Actually, our episode number 40 was about a year ago when I was out in White Rock. We recorded the Elysium Vision, and each of the episodes I did since then. So the last 10 I've really tried to focus on that storytelling element. So I don't know. I had Patrick Trudeau. He was a hairstylist that I worked with in Calgary, who was at one point in time the most sought after hairstylist in the city of Calgary, which is a big city, like a million people. So to be the top head honcho hairstylist, that's a big thing. And he was very successful. And then he had a stroke because he was actually addicted to methamphetamine. Mm-hmm. And but that was his secret that he didn't want to tell anyone. But then he had a stroke, and like that, his life was completely flipped on end, and he was willing to share that story with us on the podcast. And like, I love that, man.
Wow. Yeah, that's powerful. I don't know if I listened to that one yet. I remember you told me about that particular episode in person, but I'm gonna have to go back and give it a listen.
Yeah, I mean, that was just one of them. There was also, I did, there's a lot of them. 50 is a decent number, man.
50 is a healthy number.
Catalog.
That's some, those are some healthy digits there. So what's next, man? What's on the books for you today? Not today, but moving forward. I know you're in the process of filming a documentary. And Footbag has been a reignited passion in your life, and you feel it is,
which is hilarious because a year, not even, must have been six months ago when I was visiting you, but yeah, it was funny because it just came up in conversation with you that, hey, I used to compete in this thing called Footbag, and I was actually really good. And from there, the passion was reignited. Essentially, yeah, story goes, when I was young, before I had OCD, which I just mentioned, I was really into a sport called footbag, which is like a more advanced version of hacky sack, I suppose. Listeners can go to our website. It's right there. Check out the trailer that we filmed when I was out there 2 weeks ago. But basically I was curious where the state of the sport was, because it was not popular when I played it. So I was like, maybe it's gained some popularity. Lo and behold, that's not the case. Still unknown as ever. And I think it's an incredible sport of incredible athletes, really interesting people. And, you know, I mentioned trauma being the one thing that I've kind of learned throughout this, but I think another thing that I've learned, if we want to talk about the personal development side of things, that there's pretty much no better medicine than just movement and being physically active. There's something about that just, like for me anyways, if I'm in a funk, going to the gym or getting out, doing a run, playing footbag, whatever it is one of the healthiest and best ways to instantly get me out of that funk. And if I do it on a continual basis, that is quite literally one of the best medicines that there exists to us. It's very important that if we are able and to move, that we do that. So anyways, I just think that it's a really cool sport, really cool people behind it, and I wanted to tell their story. And that's what kind of pretty randomly came up. I knew I wanted to get into the filming and doing a documentary. I had no idea it would be footbag, but no one's done a documentary on it yet, and just seemed like the perfect place to start.
Yeah, and it's an epic story that does deserve to be told. And it's just so funny when I look back when you and I were in my kitchen and you just saw the footbag on the shelf there and you're like, is that a footbag? Like a hacky sack? I'm like, yeah. And then we go outside on the deck and we start messing around. Then we were just messing around with your new camera tools and we were just filming stuff. And then boom, you go back home and, you know, this just flowers into your life. And here we are months later, you got some wicked new camera equipment and we met up with one of those guys, Olaf, mm-hmm. one of the best Olaf. Players in the world. And, and here we are. And watching you with the camera, I know Elle and I have praised you over and over on this, but we're just amazed at how, you know, you've clearly invested a lot of time and energy in the last few months to like this craft of storytelling through film. And I'm so excited for this documentary, man, and to be with you in the action behind the scenes and filming stuff and talking with Olaf and watching you set it up for the interview. Like I was just really, really impressed with, you know, what type of energy you're putting into this new project, man. So I'm really stoked. Thank you, man. And amen to what you said about movement. There is truly no better medicine. And that reminded me with footbag, because this was obviously a lot more popular in the 90s and early 2000s and whatever, right? And it's crazy now, like it's one of those, you know, endless contrasts of where things were once upon a time versus where they are now. And just to think that, you know, footbag is one of those intimate things. It's like no one's on their phone. You're actually in your body and you're communing with other people. Like there's just something so spectacular about it where it seems like, you know,
sacred.
It's I would sacred. Say. I would say that too. I would say sacred.
True. Like I think that's, you hit the nail on the head there, because although this whole thing, like, Elysium Project is about spirituality and making the world a better place, and then all of a sudden I'm making a sports documentary. But that's going to be the social commentary aspect of it. Is 20 years ago when I was in high school, I guess it was about 20 years ago, we didn't have cell phones, and you had to entertain yourself in other ways, and you had to actually look at the person in front of you and talk to them. And it's very different now. It's strange and concerning. And so that's just another angle to which I'm approaching the film, is like, before there were phones, people were actually outside doing stuff with each other. And obviously we still are, but maybe on a lesser extent than we once were. And I think that's unfortunate.
Yeah. It is a wild contrast, man. And it's, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing how the rest of the documentary pans out. Cause even having a chance to meet with Olaf in downtown Vancouver together and just, you know, sit with him face to face, asking him these questions, I'm like, man, you know, like even just through him answering questions about footbag, so much of his essence is bleeding through as well. And, you know, a story within a story is now being told. And so, you know, maybe that's what's so beautiful about filmmaking and telling stories in general, is there, you know, it's just endless layers. It's like, through one unexpected way, you get something brand new. You wouldn't have got any other way.
Yeah. And it's really similar to podcasting in that way. Like, podcasting was a good lead into doing this, and that always to some extent was the plan. It's just film has a steep learning curve and is also very cost prohibitive to get into because the equipment is costs a fortune. But to finally sort of be there is exciting. And I leave in about 3 weeks, heading down through Washington, Oregon, and Northern California. It's come up so fast, but
in 3 weeks from now, like, are you leaving before the end of April?
Before the end of April, on the 25th, I'll be heading down, and I'm sure I'll be posting lots of updates on the trek. I'll be gone for a full month, so it'll be an intensive month of traveling and meeting my, to some extent, childhood heroes, and really, but it's cool that way too, because I, through this podcast, like, I've already chatted with quite a number of the people who, when I was really young and first kind of getting into spirituality and personal growth and that kind of thing, a lot of my people I looked up to have now been on the show. Like, I had David Wolf on the show, and when I was more into sort of passionate about the raw food diet, like Doug Graham, he wrote the 80-10-10 diet, and he was at the First Fruit Festival, so I interviewed him. And yeah, just being able to have a platform where I can reach out to these people, and they're just like, yeah, I'll come on your show. It's pretty fun. So to take that into this movie and interview these guys who are like the pioneers of this sport is, I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, totally. Totally. That's exciting, man. I'm so stoked for you, and I'm so excited to see where it all goes next, man.
Mm-hmm. And the spirituality aspect of it, I mean, whether people kind of realize it or not, to me, if someone's excelling at something and really, really owning what they do, then they're absolutely living their purpose that they were meant to come here to do. And I love so much just shining the light and giving that person a platform to show the world.
Absolutely, man. That's a beautiful point you bring up. Some of the most amazing and authentic and you could throw any positive adjective over it, but for lack of a better term, some of the most spiritual people I've ever met are people who don't subscribe to any like spiritual lingo or have no awareness of what they're doing or saying. Like, it's quote unquote unspiritual people. I don't know. I just can't think of a word to better describe that, but but like, you know, just normal people leading normal lives. Sometimes in my perception, I'm like, man, these people are just living out their purpose. Like, they are living their life and they are doing it beautifully well. And, there's something just special and poetic about that. I mean, at the end of the day, we're all walking a spiritual path, but it's really beautiful to just witness everybody in their own unique light, in their own unique path. Hopefully stumble upon each other and share a conversation.
Yeah, 100%. You said it.
Awesome, man. Well, maybe we'll leave it there for now. I wanted to just kind of cover, you know, where this whole project started for you and how we got to where we are now, and you're moving on to the next chapter of this. Is the film and the projects that you're going to be taking on with film moving forward going to still be a part of Elysium Project and the Elysium Vision, if you will? Because that was a whole other element we were talking about once upon a time with film. I think in my mind, I associated it more, you know, not as official as like actual, you're making a movie. I thought like just, you know, and stuff, but really there's no limits here. We can pretty much do whatever we want under this umbrella.
I think it's just the nature of who I am and I enjoy the challenge, like to just kind of come out of the gates and start off making a full length feature documentary film is I just like the challenge in that. So I'm kind of viewing it as my practicum in film. Like I'm going to be out there for a month filming and interviewing, and I'm going to make mistakes along the way, I'm sure, but I'm going to learn a lot and then come back. And it was also, to some extent, you know, I've wanted to make Elysium Project a career type of thing. But as I mentioned, like podcasts are really hard to monetize. So through doing film and video production services, that's a way I can also, like, I'll be working on these passion projects that I'm doing, but also offering, you know, video production services to businesses around where I live and that kind of thing. So Elysium Project is a media production company.
Yes.
And purveyor of positive storytelling.
Oh, I love that. That just lit me up. Elysium Project. What would you say? It is a media production company?
A media production company and purveyor of positive storytelling.
Oh my goodness, that's beautiful. That's lovely, man. That is absolutely.
But yeah, I think, like, again, just keeping it always positive. I don't have judgment on anyone and what they choose to fight for, I guess. But I think there's a lot of, like, I don't know what the word is, just kind of opposition in this world. Like, people are like, you know, a big no and a big, like, F you, and that's fine. That's necessary. It's necessary that we have that people are willing to stand up for what they believe in. For me, my kind of focus is just like, I don't know how effective that always is. Sometimes what you resist persists. And I see that a lot playing out in society. Like, you have the right and the left wing, and they just feed off of each other, just this constant, unstoppable force meeting an immovable object type thing, and this constant friction. And again, that's a necessary part of life. I don't think that's ever going to go away, but I like to just focus on, and maybe I'm vain in doing so, but with my little rose colored glasses, I just like to document positivity, man.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just the nature of the universe we live in. There is, everything is basically dual in nature. And so for every good, great, amazing thing, there's an equally horrible thing going on somewhere else. Mm-hmm. But I think really the only way,
you know what I mean though? Like, there's a lot of people out there that are like so angry with something. Like, I'm angry this is happening, and that's again, that's necessary. Live and let live. I think I'm not judging them. They can do what they want to do. I choose to put my energy into a different direction, I guess.
Absolutely. And you could say, almost in a bigger picture perspective, is like, by you choosing to funnel your energy into that frequency and choosing to funnel your life force into the essence of positive energy and storytelling and sharing and community, you know, that's healing on a very deep level, not only for yourself, but for everyone else around you as well. But by doing this healing work, to kind of bring it back to everything we talked about earlier, we are kind of bridging the gap for everybody to kind of meet somewhere. Because there is, like, healing is just this pursuit of, you know, realizing you're whole and that you were never broken to begin with. But there's so much illusion in this world. You know what I mean, brother? And so by choosing to heal ourselves and do this type of work, and choosing to tell stories and share positive energy and to uplift others, to invoke the aliveness within other people, we are literally healing the world. So I'm really, really grateful for everything you've done up to this point, brother, and the stories you're going to continue to tell, and the podcasts that will continue to be told. And I'm sure you'll be back here on the show, man. We always have conversations probably once every 10 episodes or something like that. Anyway.
Yeah, brother. Yeah. And equally right back at you. I'm like really excited to listen to your upcoming episodes. I know we've met I have a ton of people that I'm always meeting, to be honest, that I know would be good on the show, but I've just been over the last, you know, 4 or 5 months completely focused on film. So I haven't quite had the time, but here we are.
Yeah, I totally hear you, man. It shows in what you're producing with film. But yeah, this has been a long time coming for me too. I'm really excited to take the reins moving forward with the Elysium Project and start interviewing people, man, because podcasting is truly one of those things. It's definitely an edge for me still. It's definitely still something out of my comfort zone, but you know, I literally listen to podcasts every day and I love the shit out of people and I'm constantly inquiring towards people as if they're in a fucking interview anyway. So, you know, I'm really,
yeah, you, it's a natural fit for you.
Yeah. I appreciate that, brother. Yeah. Really appreciate that. But yeah, is there anything else you'd like to share for the viewers you have, you know, gathered in the last 5 years here, as there is an element of closure to episode 50?
Well, I definitely want to end it with gratitude. And like I said earlier, you've got listeners from all over the world that I've never met and I don't know, you know, I don't know them on any personal level. So that's a pretty cool feeling. I'm really grateful for that. Thank you all for tuning into this show. And I wanted to come on today within Austin's invitation to join the show as he kind of takes over from here. And I mean, I haven't done an episode for, I think, 4 months now. December was the last one. So,
oh, really?
I've been away for a bit, but not gone, but not forgotten or something. I don't know. Close enough. And be on the road in 3 weeks making a movie.
Yeah. Yeah. That's crazy, man. One adventure ends and a whole new one begins. So thank you,
man. Yeah, man.
Thank you for trusting me with steering the ship and moving forward. And, you know, I'm just super excited for all the collaborations you and I have to come in the future. And, you know, there's a lot to look forward to. Despite all the chaos in the world, there is light. So.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. Always.
Keep on keeping on.
Sometimes they say, a favorite quote of mine, I can't remember. I think I might have heard it in Batman of all things, but the night is always darkest before the dawn. Mm. Just when you think things are getting so bad that there's a point of no return, often it happens that that somehow, some way that we can't begin to fathom, something turns around and here we are.
Here we are. We need community now more than ever, and to come together face to face with each other and to connect more than ever, you know, in a world where everybody's just head down on their phone every single day. Mm-hmm. Like we've lost so many of the things that made us really, you know, communal at some point in time. And so, you know, we hope to cultivate that sense of community within the online space and outside in the real world through all these platforms.
Mm-hmm. See, I think you say it better than I possibly could. I think you're just a natural at podcasting. So
I don't know what I'm doing, lad.
you know what? As what I realized in life in my 38 years here, I don't really think any of us really know. We're all just kind of trying to do the best we can and we make mistakes and that's all just part of the process.
What a beautiful acknowledgement of humility as well. You know, realizing we all don't, like, we can pretend like we know what the fuck we're doing, but you know, really no one here knows what the fuck is going on. We like to pretend that we know what's going on, though. know better than everyone else.
Yeah. Yeah. I've met a lot of people at this point in my life. I can safely say, even the most incredible people I've met, that not a single person has all the answers. And therein lies a great reason to have these podcasts, so that we can all just collectively come together and share the little bits that we do know.
We're just trying to figure it out, man. You know, we're literally like, no one knows fucking anything. Like, we're literally just here to help each other, like, make sense of things and figure it out and come back home and hopefully make contact with like something that is just truth, you know, something that's like we can all agree on, maybe, or just something that, you know, hits you in a way that you can't even put words to, you know. Like, we're all deep down, I think we're all just looking for the same thing.
Each of us just kind of has a little piece of the puzzle, and together we make it a whole. I'm just going to keep dropping little fortune cookie like parables and for the next.
Just bars. Yeah. Going out with bars, yeah. Man.
Yeah. Perfect. Well, thank you again for having me on, Austin.
Hey, thank you, brother. You've given me the space, and you've always chosen to see me in my highest. So I deeply appreciate that, brother. And thanks for the conversation. Looking forward to what's coming next.
Absolutely. One love, brother.
All right, brother. Peace. See you, everybody.